Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to read 1 through 4 and then drop down to 13 through 25. And if you could remain standing for the reading of the word, if you have to sit, that's fine as well. Reading from the New Living Translation tonight, a message entitled, Five Keys to Walking in Victory. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar. This was another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Now I want you to drop down to verse 13. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeiel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for it's a lamp unto our feet and a light upon our path. We pray and ask for revelation tonight. I ask that you'd give us ears to hear and hearts to respond. Holy Spirit, that you would come and enable us to receive. I pray that you'd anoint me to preach your word tonight with power and clarity. Holy Spirit, that it would burn faith and vision into the hearts of your people. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can go and be seated. Praise God. Again, title of the message tonight, Five Keys to Walking in Victory. And I'm going to do my best to help out the media team and stay up here for as long as possible. We'll see how long that lasts. It's just better for the cameras. Praise the Lord. As I was praying and seeking the Lord as to what he would want to say tonight, he brought to remembrance just the many people that I've prayed for recently. And even as I traveled into some of our villages a few weeks ago in Annacnik and Dillingham, I saw a consistent issue of difficulty. Many people struggling under the weight of discouragement and even, I believe, a demonic oppression that sought to hinder their faith in pursuing the promises of God that he had spoke to them. And this section of scripture, this story, which is more than a story, understand this is historical fact, really something that took place, a miraculous moment in the lives of the people of God. This is a story that I think of really, I could say without hesitation, daily. I think of this story daily. And the reason being is that it produces great faith within me to continue to pursue the promise of God for my life. We must understand that Jesus has given us victory. We understand that when Jesus said, "It is finished," as he was dying upon the cross and giving up his life, he said, "It is finished." And that declaration really was meant for all that would come against the declarations of his word concerning healing, it is finished. Concerning our salvation, it is finished. That those that put their trust in him as their Lord and Savior and their trust in him, in the promises he's given for our lives, he did the finishing work. We already walk in victory. But how do we see that consistently in our daily lives? It's one thing to hear about the victory that Jesus has already procured and paid for us. But it's another thing completely to internalize it and appropriate it. That word appropriate means to take for yourself, to take it for yourself in such a way that it affects the way that you walk out your daily life and the way that you lead your family and the way that you run your business and the way that you approach circumstances and obstacles. How can we walk in victory on a daily basis? This story, again, more than a story, is a tremendous one, and I'm just going to give some highlights from it before we talk about those five keys. Because I believe that there are those within this congregation tonight that they have gotten a word from the Lord, that God has spoken to them, and they've been standing on the promises. Yet there's been difficulty, there's been obstacles, there's even been assignments from the enemy to get you derailed, to get you discouraged, to get you turned away from pursuing the promise. But the Lord has tasked me tonight with bringing some encouragement, some direction this evening, so that you can continue and that you can fulfill and walk in the promises that God has for you. Even as Pastor Gill quoted earlier from the book of Jeremiah, the Lord says, "I know the plans I have for you, that to give you hope and a future." I want to help you tonight to begin to walk in those, because God has a plan for you, a plan for your children, a plan for their children, a plan for your family line. The Bible says that the blessings of God go to 1,000 generations. God wants to begin that with you. And even if your past looked different than the blessings of God, something's going to be released into you tonight to begin to believe for the promises of God, not only to be to see a glimpse of them, but to see them fulfilled, to see them walked out on a daily basis. So in this story, King Jehoshaphat is faced with a huge circumstance, a huge problem. These three armies have banded together, and this wasn't a unified Israel at this point in history. It's divided. There's the people of Israel and then the nation of Judah. Now we're looking at the nation of Judah under King Jehoshaphat. And so these armies are coming to wipe them out. And really, if you look at the numbers that are talked about for this battle, it was, I believe, 3-1. They were going to get wiped out. They were facing odds that would wipe them out as a people. And I think that there are some people tonight that you've got maybe a medical diagnosis. Maybe you got a bill. Maybe you've got something even spoken about your children. Maybe that you're discouraged concerning your own life, that whatever is coming against you, God can release the breakthrough for. And there are things that we can do and things that we can place within our lives that position us to continue to see victories for ourselves, for our families, and for those that are around us. So they're faced with these armies. The armies are coming toward them. The king begins to fast, and I love how the Bible does not sugarcoat things. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news, but his response was the response that we should have. He fasted and he prayed. He sought the Lord. He fasted. He humbled himself, really, and began to seek the Lord. And we skipped over it, but you can read what follows next is he led really the people in prayer to God. And they sought the Lord together. And God, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon this man, and he releases a prophetic word. Jehaziel releases a prophetic word. And this is a word that God is really implanted into my life to face any obstacle. He says that this battle, you're not going to have to fight. This battle, you're not going to have to fight. You position yourselves, stand still, and watch the Lord's victory. And this is prior to Jesus dying on the cross. And what Jesus did when he made victory available to us, we are positioned then to, in the same way, on a daily basis, position ourselves, stand still before the Lord, and watch the Lord's victory. And we're going to flesh that out more, what that looks like. And so they obey. He tells them to go forward. And they move forward. They head out against odds that if God doesn't show up, they're going to get wiped out. And on the way, they re-encourage themselves. We're going to talk about that again. But they get there, and as it says, the whole valley was full of the enemy, the dead enemy. And may it be so to all that comes against the promises of God for your life and for your children. And there, I hear it in the spirit. There are those that God is speaking to you and confirming some things tonight. Did I not say? He's speaking to you. Did I not say? And really, that's the word that God has put in my heart tonight, more than just giving you something new to know, but a confirmation. Did I not already speak to you? Did I not already tell you? Did I not already give you a promise? So getting right into it, 5 keys to walking in victory. Number 1, get a word from God. You've got to get a word from God. If you want to walk in victory over addiction, if you want to walk in victory in your health, if you want to walk in victory for your family and your finances, get a word from God. Get something from God. Get a word and begin to wage war with that thing. Jehoshaphat fasted and prayed. He knew that what he needed would not come from him and could not come from someone else. He needed God to step into the situation and release only what God could. In impossible situations is where God shines. And God wants to release the impossible into your life. Get a word from God. Get a word from Him. One of my favorite stories is the story of Peter walking on water. And if you're unfamiliar with the story, he sees Jesus walking on water, and Peter and the other disciples are in the boat. And he says to Jesus, "If that's you, call me out on the water." And Jesus says to him, "Come." One word. He says, "Come." But that was enough to release the faith within the life of Peter to say, if the Master has said for me to come, what he's declared for my life, that is reality. It doesn't matter what it looks on the like on the outside of the boat, that what Jesus has said is the reality for my life. So if he says to come, I'm on my way. If he says to step out, I'm stepping out. Because when we do so, he comes through. It allows him to go beyond what looks like the impossible. How could Peter obey Jesus in that moment? Only because he was enabled through getting that word. Release the faith. You got to get a word. And so in the story that we looked at, not only did Jehoshaphat get the word, but all the people, they got a word from God and it released faith. That even though it looks in the natural like we're going to get wiped out, we have a word from God. If you don't have a word tonight, maybe, and some people come, I need a word and I need to hear from God. Number one, you've got his word right here. You've got scripture. There's enough promises in here to get you through everything that comes at you in life. This is the manual that you need for your children. This is the manual you need for your finances. This is the manual that you need for living a life in freedom out of addiction, out of alcoholism, out of depression. This is the manual that you need. And if you follow the word and what is spoken within these, you will come into the place that's described in the book of Ephesians, the abundantly above and beyond anything you can ask or think was what he desires to release. You have the word. And many across our nation have multiple Bibles and some gathering dust and every translation under the sun. You can even get the Pigeon Bible today. My oldest daughter, Esley, she likes to text me the Pigeon translation for many things. Praise God. Grab hold of the word. And allow it not to just get into your mind, but get it into your spirit. So much so that it becomes the reality for your life. Not the giant that I see in front of me, but the word that God has planted within me. Not that obstacle that I see, not the circumstance, but the word that God has spoken to me. Get that within you. I'm speaking to somebody tonight who's struggling with health issues, and you've got reports from doctors. I'll tell you a report that's found in the word. In the book of Isaiah, it says, by his stripes you are healed. In the book of Psalms, it says that I cried out to you and you restored my health. You can lay hold of those promises and wage war over the health within your body and see those things transform, to see life return to things within your body. But you got to get a word. Not only did he fast and pray, but he got around people that heard from God. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. It wasn't just about the king. It was about those that were around him. You've got to get around people that hear from God. Get next to people that hear from God. I depend on that in my life. I depend on it. I get around people. I know they hear from the Lord. I know that God is directing them, and I pay attention. I get around them just to, you know, the Bible says that we're that there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. And one of the areas that many people I've seen, I don't know if it's the same everywhere, but in Alaska, fall short in pursuing the word that God has for them, is that they go it alone. They step out by themselves. They don't submit to any authority. They don't take those what they felt was a word from God and go, hey, I think God is speaking to me. They don't do that. And there are many times where we mishear, or maybe we want something so badly that we make our voice God's voice. I remember a young man, and if he's watching tonight, praise God, I'm not going to give any hints as to who it is. But I remember a young man years ago coming to me and says, I don't even know if I was a minister back then, many years ago. And he said, this girl, she's the one. God spoke to me. I got a word from the Lord. He told me that we were going to get married, that she was the one for me. And you know, what happened is they began doing things that married people should only do because she was the one. Now he's happily married today to someone else. But I told him, and others told him, I don't think that that's the one. I don't think that. And it wasn't about that other person. It was not the time and it was not right. But he wouldn't listen to that advice, that wise counsel. So part of getting a word from the Lord is being a person who's under authority and has people around them that hear from God. Let me tell you this, one of the buzzwords from a bygone generation of the church that I really grew up in was the accountability partner. Anybody ever heard that? But I remember it as kind of a cover for doing whatever I wanted, and I wasn't really accountable. And as I remember, well, it was probably 20 years ago or even more now, people would just say that, yeah, I'm accountable to someone. But they weren't. They weren't exposing anything. They weren't even asking them. I like how Dr. Morocco does it. If somebody comes to him and says, ask for advice, he's really looking to say, okay, do you really want advice or you just want me to check off on what you think God has spoken to you? Because if you just want me to check off on it, don't even come talk to me. I'm all about that, because if you've already decided what God has spoken to you, you don't need to hear from me. But we keep those people around us because I can want something so badly that it's God's voice. Get a word from the Lord. Number two, this is really theologically profound, so I want you to grasp this. Are you ready? Obey what he told you. Obey God. The only reason I think this is really theologically difficult is because many people talk their way around it. Oh, if I just give more, then God will speak to you. No, he's already spoken to you. You just don't want to do it. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. There is no substitution for obedience, and there's no way around it. If you want to walk in what God has said you can walk in, you've got to do what he said for you to do. And there's no way, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no way around it. There is only obedience. And once you begin to walk in that, as difficult as it may be, you'll begin to see the promises of God. And I have many people that come and say, Pastor, God spoke to me this years ago, and I'm just waiting on him. Well, stop waiting. I think waiting on the Lord had become another buzzword within the church. Oh, I'm just waiting on the Lord. 20 years ago, he told me, that he was going to use me in the area of healing. I'm just waiting for him to send me. It doesn't work like that. You've got to obey what he said to do. I already spoke about Peter, right? Peter. This is, again, really profound. Peter wasn't walking on water until he was walking on water. Do you understand what I'm saying? He wasn't walking on water in the boat. He wasn't walking on water on his way out of the boat. It wasn't until his foot was upon the water that he was walking on water. And many people are looking for God to cause them to walk on the water, but they're staying in the boat. We've got to step out into that place that if you're not going to make it, you're going to be all wet. If you're not going to make it, if God doesn't show up, then you're not going to survive. And that's exactly what they did. They obeyed God in our story tonight. They just obeyed. They were going to their death if God didn't show up. Do you understand? They were going to their death, but I'm going to obey God. We got a word from the Lord, not just one, but a whole company. The people of God, they begin to step forward. God said to begin to go out, position yourself. What does that mean? What did he mean by position yourself? Like it depended upon them as an army to go forward against them. They're moving forward. You do the possible, and then God does the impossible. But you've got to do the possible first. You have to do what he's spoken to you. And there's many that are, I believe, are discouraged even tonight because you've been waiting for God to do the impossible, but you haven't done what he's told you to do. And I want to go as far as saying, because it's Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, and it's also in Scripture, that there are even times where healing is dependent upon your obedience. that there's things that God told you to quit doing or to start doing, that when you begin to do so, you will see a shift within your body, in your mind, in your emotions. You'll see a change within your home. There's got to be that obedience, because I'll tell you, no matter what the enemy will say and try to discourage you and try to distract you with, there's nothing like walking in the obedience of God and knowing that you're firmly within His plan and His will for your life. And as you do so, His blessings begin to be released in your body, your mind, your emotions, in your family, in your children, and it begins to be released. But you've got to obey. You've got to obey. And I have people that go, I'm just waiting for God to use me. But there are many places already within the church for you to serve. But you're waiting for the pulpit, or you're waiting for the, you know, when Pastor recognizes the anointing upon my life. I've just been praying that Pastor Daniel and Pastor Karen just recognize how anointed I am and how I'm ready to prophesy over the whole church, and they're going to stick me up there with Dr. Morocco, and I'll be his personal prophet, and even to the nations. But you won't show up to help clean. I almost preached a different message. It would have been part two of Pastor Daniel's message from Sunday night about being a world changer. Why? Because he said so many things about his testimony that's my testimony. He said him and Pastor Karen, they just showed up. You know, when people ask me what my testimony is, I say I just showed up. And then I showed up. And then they needed this, and this, there was a need here, I showed up. Can I help? Can I do that? And what begins to happen, I'll just help you out tonight. What begins to happen is when you show up for those needs and show up to serve and show up for those things, there are others that are more qualified that didn't show up. But you know what? Nathan shows up. He's always here. And you know what? God's going to use him. He might not be as qualified, but he's here. That's exactly my story. Minister Heidi as well. So I could name so many others because we just showed up. And I remember moments, as particularly, I'll share one because it's particularly powerful. Then we've got to step on the gas. But there was a Sunday night, and I'd never really spoken in front of anybody. Did helped with life groups, and I remember coming up to Pastor Daniel and saying, it was right after a leaders meeting, 6 o'clock service was about to start, and he needed to open up in prayer. Pastor Daniel, it's time for the evening service. We need you to come and open up in prayer. I never forget. He looks at me, probably terrified like Jehoshaphat. He looks at me, he says, why don't you do it? And I'd never done anything like that before. I grew up in a village of 75 people at the time. Prior to that. So talking in front of people, I mean, that was terrifying. And I said, I'd rather not. I'll never forget. I said, I'd rather not. And he was gracious. He said, okay, I'll go do it. And he heads off to do it. I will never forget, and I've told Pastor Karen this, what she said to me. She turned to me and she said, don't shrink back. And that has been one of the transformative moments of my life. One of the most powerful things ever spoken to me was by Pastor Karen. She said, don't shrink back. Because when you step up in obedience to what you know God has spoken to you to do, and when you step up in those places, in those difficult areas, it allows him to show up. It allows him to be faithful to you. Understand, the Bible says that God is faithful. He is faithful. There's no way for him to be any other, because he is faithfulness. And when you show yourself faithful, when you're obedient, it allows him to show himself faithful to you. It allows him to do what he said he would do. But you got to show up. I'm going to give a shout out to the clean team, who does a tremendous job. Put your hands together for the clean team. I see you. I see you vacuuming. I see you cleaning. Praise God. I want to encourage you, if God's spoken to you that you need to begin to serve, go sign up for the clean team. There's many other teams, but I love the clean team. You know, one of the things I love about church people? Boy, we can stack chairs like nobody's business. I love going to functions outside of church, and there's a time where everybody cleans up. I can tell the church people, because it's like a miracle took place and all the chairs are stacked and tables are put away. Things are getting vacuumed because there's an anointing that comes to serve. There's an anointing for service that anointing doesn't come any other way. And many people are waiting for an anointing when actually God is waiting for you to serve, waiting for you to obey. And that anointing then comes upon your life. You got to obey. So you have a word. Respond to that word. I want to say this again. If there's something he's telling you to stop doing it. Stop doing it. If you're not tithing, start tithing. Oh, but what if there's not enough to provide? If you're not tithing, there's already a hole in your pocket. The Bible says that you're under a curse if you're not tithing. But if you do begin to tithe, I'll tell you what happens. The God himself becomes the one that provides. He becomes your source. He becomes the one that makes sure that there's more than enough. And when you don't tithe, I don't have that kind of, I'm not okay with having that much responsibility. To be the bottom line for the finances of my life and my family. I don't have that kind of faith in myself. That's why I tithe, because I need God to be the bottom line for my finances and for my family. That he's the one that provides. Number three, I got to hurry up. Keep declaring the word. So back to the story. They got a word from God. They responded to the word. They began to obey. But what they had to do in the process is keep declaring the word. You'll notice in verse 20, early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa on the way. Somebody say on the way. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." They had to be reminded that God had spoken to them. They had to be reminded of the word. Believe. God spoke to us. Believe. He already gave us the promise. The victory is his. We've got to obey. So Jehoshaphat recognized that there's moments where you've got to keep your faith up. You've got to remind yourself of what God has said. You've got to have memorials that show, hey, God came through for me here. God gave me this word. I'll tell you, if you come to our house, you come around us, you'll see scriptures in different places. Why? Because I need to be reminded of what the word says. I need to be reminded of what he's promised. And when you continue to declare the word, God releases breakthrough. Listen, he's doing everything he said he would. Somebody needs to hear me tonight. He's doing everything he said he would. He's doing everything he said he would, and he's faithful. And what you've got to do in the process is continue to hold on to the word. And I love how the psalmist speaks to himself and says, "Why so downcast, O my soul?" Why? Because we've got to speak to ourselves and say, "Listen up. This is what God has said. Why are you so downcast? This is what God has told you. This is what the actual reality is. Stop looking at the giants. Stop looking at the storm. Stop looking at the battle. Stop looking at the armies. You've got to keep your eyes upon the author and finisher of your faith. You've got to keep your eyes upon what God has said, what he's declared, because he's doing everything he said he would do. It's in the process. It's already in what Jesus has already accomplished. It's already been done. You've got to keep yourself full of faith till you get to that place, till you get to that the promises being released. You keep declaring the word. I've shared before, and this will help anybody struggling in your body, or you've got concerns, you've got some fears. When fear tried to come upon me concerning my own health, God gave me a word, Psalm 30, verse 2. I cried out to you and you restored my health. There's not a day goes by that I don't quote it to somebody, I don't share it with somebody, because there's a powerful verse that will release faith if you allow it, if you'll declare it. If every day you'll begin to declare it. When symptoms come, no, God is restoring my health. God is my God who, even as it says in Isaiah, by his stripes we are healed. God is restoring my health. God, I thank you. I feel it right now. God, I thank you. Lord, that you're restoring my health. I thank you, God, that my health is in your hands. I place myself in your hands. So you got to declare the word. Number four, praise releases power. I'm going to hurry up here. Praise releases power. It says that as they went, at the very moment they began to sing, verse 22, and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to fight against each other. As at the moment they began to sing in praise, there was power released in thanksgiving. There was power released in praise. You know what Jesus did before he broke the loaves and fishes and passed them out? He thanked God for them. How do you thank God? For what doesn't look like it's going to provide. You thank him for what his word says. You thank him for the promise that he'd given you. You thank him. You praise him. They're praising. I mean, in the natural, they probably look like crazy people. You're marching against this huge army, and you're singing, and you're praising your God. And understand that at that time, it wasn't just about kings and armies fighting against each other. If an army were to win, it declared that their God was the God, and their God was stronger, and their God was better. Praise releases power. You begin to praise him. Minister Heidi, would you come? And number five, follow through. At any moment in the journey, they could have turned back. At any moment in their journey, they could have turned away. They could have ran. They could have done something else. They had to follow through. As they did so, God released breakthrough to them. God is speaking to us tonight. He is faithful, and he wants to release his breakthrough in your life, in your circumstances, in your health, in your finances, in your family. He wants to release his breakthrough. Get a hold of his word and wage war with it. Get it within your life and begin to do battle against the things of the enemy.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.